$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dillman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Good evening.
And Brian Higgins.
Good morrow.
Good morrow to you as
good
well.
Good morrow, Abbott.
How are we doing this evening, gentlemen? We got some thunderstorms going on, some tea boomers, as the kids say nowadays.
Is that what they say?
I don't know. I don't know what the kids say, Brian. Come on.
Don't you listen to the kid podcasts and go to the kid YouTubes to...
I thought you were going to say, do you listen to the kid bops albums?
Listen to kids bop.
Rick, do you know what kids bops is?
No.
They're like music albums, like now this is what I call music, but it's
I
all
have kids.
And they're kids just singing
pop songs.
Yeah.
But like a lot of times they're inappropriate songs,
right?
So they're like sanitized to be kid friendly as well on top of it.
For example, one could be like, I hugged a girl and I like So gentlemen, this past week we had our 50th Reviews It.
We did indeed.
Which was quite exciting. And what was less exciting was the movie that we covered for it, which was Batman Forever. But obviously we have covered the first two in the series, that particular series. We were doing a bit of a nod to Adam West, the late great Adam West.
And we needed to do it so that we could eventually get to Batman
That's
and Robin.
That's true, which is going to be an interesting journey once we get there. I can already see that.
But I think watching this movie again, I really noticed how they got to Batman and Robin.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
yep.
I always thought there was this huge
You thought there was
jump.
A huge jump, right.
Because I always liked this movie. I mean, I saw it in the theaters. I liked this movie. The soundtrack, like I said in our full reviews, it's the first soundtrack I, like, ever bought.
Yeah.
Like, this was a good movie, I thought. Now I'm like, holy crap, this thing was batshit crazy.
Yeah, I can't, I mean...
I see what you did there.
I feel like I did enjoy this when I was younger, but even then I did obviously notice the different tone between Tim Burton's takes and Joel Schumacher's. And I don't know, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of when I was that age to be like, okay, I did like it at the time, but I don't know still if I liked it as much as like Batman and Batman Returns. You know?
I think I was excited to get like a Two-Face movie.
Oh yeah, I was really excited about that.
And Jim Carrey was awesome at that time. So like watching it now, you're watching through a different lens. But like at that time, it was Jim Carrey in his prime, where it was still exciting to see a Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah.
So like you're after Ace Ventura and The Mask and Dumb and Dumber. Like he's riding his wave right there.
Yeah. But another thing that was kind of exciting, and we're going to kind of get into this a little bit more as we go further in this episode, is another thing exciting about Batman and him as a superhero is that he's got so many villains. And you brought up that term of a rogues gallery is so, you think of Batman's villains to that. But it's so exciting how you can get to three movies and there's a different villain in every single one. And there's so many more that come up. It's pretty exciting.
I think it's amazing.
So, gentlemen, one of the things we do is we kind of connect the last movie we did a reviews of to the current one. Now, Brian, I know during the full reviews that you and I were kind of talking off mic, and there is a lot of direct connections.
Yes, there are.
Between The Adventures in Babysitting and Batman Forever. Now, I'm going to throw out my one that I came up with, because I think you have this one as well, but you have several others as well. So we don't even need Rick to look up the ultimate site connections here, because there were just so many.
There are way too many. I didn't even open it up.
Well, let's start more as a softball, because the first one that popped in my head was actually a two-step.
Okay.
So in Adventures of Babysitter, you remember Penelope Ann Miller was stuck in the bus station.
Yep.
And then she was in Carlito's Way with Al Pacino, and then Al Pacino was in Heat with Val Kilmer. So there was a two-step. But then the direct connection, which was actually main actor the main actor, was Elizabeth Shue and Val Kilmer were both in The Saint.
Correct. Yeah.
So that was So that was like the direct connection there. There's several more though.
Yeah, I had that one, and as I started thinking, once I started going, I had to see if I could get one for everyone who's a main character in this movie.
Oh, so you?
So I wanted Val Kilmer, so Chris movie, O'Donnell, okay. Tommy Lee Jones, Nicole Kidman, and Jim Carrey.
So you weren't running down Adventures in Babysitting?
No,
I need to connect to Keith Coogan and.
No, I just wanted to see if I could get a connection for each,
five leads.
Yes. Yeah. For each one, they got like a character poster. So, of course, Val Kilmer, The Saint.
Yes.
We've established that. Chris O'Donnell. There's actually two connections for Chris O'Donnell
that
are direct. The first one is Scent of a Woman, which Bradley Whitford was in.
Really? Yeah. Okay. And I don't remember him in that.
While I mention this, I do have to mention that I did see a tweet from Bradley Whitford yesterday where he indicated that the IMDb fun fact that the car that he uses in the film was
so
his own.
Cool.
Yeah, the so cool car. He just replied with two words, not true.
Oh, he debunked it.
He debunked it.
Wow.
We reported it on the podcast. I want to set the record straight.
We'll issue a retraction based upon the source.
Indeed. Fake news. His other connection, School Ties.
Yes, he was in School Ties, right?
He was in School Ties. Yep. Also in School Ties, Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp, yes. Yes. Yeah.
The next connection I had was for Tommy Lee Jones. This is one that came to me immediately.
Okay.
Because it's another very popular film from this era, another one that I associate with Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Men in Black.
Men in Black.
With Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio, right.
Yeah. So once
Rick is baffled because he wasn't with us when we watched Adventures in Babysitting.
No.
So he's like, these people were in Adventures in Babysitting.
Vincent D'Onofrio played
a lot of people.
He
in
played
movie.
Thor.
He played Thor.
He played Thor.
Wait. What?
Like God of Thunder.
He played Thor.
I don't think I ever watched that
movie.
You
might not see it, yeah.
After I got there, I started to have to stretch a little. So I was doing a little searching because I knew I could find something for Nicole Kidman and Jim Carrey. And for Nicole Kidman, she was in The Human Stain.
With Anthony Hopkins, right?
And with Ron Canada.
Oh, Ron Canada, right.
Yes, character actor,
okay.
Ron Canada.
Excellent.
And then Jim Carrey was a tough one.
Yeah, okay.
Because as much as he's an iconic actor, when you go through
his... It's all like a chunk of like...
It's a chunk, yeah. So the one that I was able to find was that he was with Rummy Bishop, who was janitor number two.
Oh, yeah, those weird janitors.
They were both in 1983's All in Good Taste.
I don't even know what that is.
No one knows what
that
is.
What?
I think it's one of those movies that got kind of like a video release after Ace Ventura, where they slapped his face on it when he really has a tiny supporting role.
Okay, so he's not even the lead in that.
He's positioned on the poster as the lead.
Okay,
from what I saw on IMDb.
Why don't you bring that movie up? I'd like to know.
Well,
who's the star of that movie and what the plot is?
They do that a lot, though. If like the star becomes famous,
right?
After
they go
the
back.
Fact,
yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, he's number one.
They bill them like the biggest face on the
That's like
the
Sylvester
movie cover.
Stallone's porn video.
All in Good Taste, the story is a filmmaker is upset to find out that his wholesome script about an orphan and his dog has been warped into a film about strippers?
What?
Jonathan Welsh plays Timothy. Harvey Atkin plays Cochran. Jack Creeley plays Lou Melnick.
I have not recognized any of these names.
Douglas plays Dixon. As you continue going down, Jim Carrey is going to show up pretty low playing Ralph.
Well, there you go. Good job, Ryan. So several direct connections.
Yeah, so we got those direct connections. I knew we would be able to do it with Adventures in Babysitting and Batman Forever, just because a lot of people that ended up being fairly iconic, as well as some great character actors in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, right. So next, we actually have a game and a list today, but I think we're going to go with the game because
there might be some overlap.
Right.
Because with this movie, we had two of the iconic Batman villains.
Yes.
And this is where...
Two-Face.
You know,
and the Riddler.
We started with Batman Returns. We started getting into the realm of multiple villains in each film. In Batman and Robin, we end up getting three of them.
They keep upping it.
Yeah, they keep upping the ante. I wanted to play a game with you guys that is called Batman Villain or Professional Wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Because both of them are known for their unique characters
that are
quite eccentric.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you a name, and then you are going to tell me if you think if it's a Batman villain or a professional wrestler.
How should we answer?
I will do 3, 2, 1,
okay.
And then you just say
same time.
Batman or wrestler.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. The first
Batman.
One.
Can I say Batman?
You can say Batman. Yeah. All right. Your first is Hugh Morris.
Hugh Morris. Okay.
Call 3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Wrestler.
Rick is correct.
Okay.
William Charles DeMott II is an American, or maybe the third, is an American retired professional wrestler and road agent. He's best known for his appearances with World Championship Wrestling as Hugh Morris. Humorous.
Oh, humorous.
And General Hugh G. Rection.
Oh, no.
And he performed with WWE under his real name, Bill DeMott.
I was on the fence with that one. It could have gone either way, but
I like this game so far.
Just because you're winning.
All right, Rick has 1 point.
End the game now.
Our next one is Anarchy. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Batman.
You are both correct. Lonnie Mackin, sometimes called Money Spider, is a teenage prodigy that creates improvised gadgets in order to subvert governments. All right, so you are at 1 for Mark and 2 for Rick.
Okay.
Our next one is the KG Beast. 3, 2, 1.
Wrestling.
That is a Batman villain.
Oh, okay. Oh. The KG Beast.
Anatoly Niyazev is an ex-KGB assassin. He is among the villains who are executed by the second Tallyman.
They should have put him in Batman and Robin and then played by Dolph Lundgren.
He's kind of similar in the Bane realm in that he wears a what appears to be a luchador mask.
Okay. Is it like red, though?
With like it's black with
the
red lines
the
over the eyes. We are at 2-1.
2-1 still.
Our next one is Mean Mark Callis. 3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
You are both correct. For a bonus point, can you tell me who Mean Mark Callis went on to be?
Mean Mark Callis.
Rick, since you are in the lead, I will give you the first choice, or you can defer.
I will defer.
All right. Mark, you
I'm
going to
say
pick.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay. Rick, do you have a guess?
Rowdy Roddy.
He's not Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I don't know.
After wrestling for WCW as Mean Mark Callis from 1989 to 1990, he signed with the World Wrestling Federation in 1990 and performed for the next 27 years as The Undertaker.
Oh, The Undertaker.
But you both got that right. He was a wrestler, so we are at 3-2. Our next one is Kitty Kumbata. Kitty Kumbata.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Correct. Kitty Kumbata is a talented but mentally unstable martial artist. She has been a member of the League of Assassins and Lady Shiva's Circle of Six. So now we're at 4-3, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one ahead. That's one ahead.
So we're just going to say Rick has 1 point.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to cancel out points.
Yeah, that works.
That's fine.
We're going to play cornhole rules here.
Ah.
Our next one is Maxi Zeus.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Batman.
You are both correct.
I knew that one.
Maximilian Zeus is a former history teacher who loses his mind and believes himself to be the Greek god Zeus, committing crimes modeled after Greek mythology.
A great Batman the Animated Series episode. That's why I knew
that
one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Our next
I
one.
I did not know that.
Ruby Riott.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
I was going to say Batman, so.
So you sick of him Batman there, Rick?
Yeah, I am.
Well, then the score is now tied.
Yay!
Ruby Riott is a wrestler currently competing on NXT, which is WWE's developmental area. She worked on the independent circuit for a number of years using the ring name Heidi Lovelace.
Coincidentally, also the name of a signature drink when I used to bartend at Ruby Tuesday.
Oh!
No, that was the Ruby Runner.
All right, so we are all evened out.
All right.
So it's a whole new ball game. Our next one is Terra Rising.
Jesus. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestling. Batman?
Rick has pulled ahead again.
Okay, I was going to say that one.
But I'm also going to give you a chance for a bonus point if you can say who Terra Rising went on to
Terra
become.
Terra Rising.
I'll give Mark the first chance.
Kane.
China.
Rick was closer.
Oh, so it's a female.
No.
Oh, no.
Terra Rising went on to become Hunter Hearst Helmsley,
who
ran in DX with China.
Triple H.
And, of course, Hunter Hearst Helmsley is Triple H.
Ah, yes.
So that was his WCW name. All right, so Rick.
I was going on, like Tara, like a girl's name. That's why I went with Tara.
So, Rick, you're up by one, right?
Up by one, yep.
Our next one is Arachnaman. 3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Wrestler. Robert Bradley Brad James was an American professional wrestler, better known by his ring name Brad Armstrong, best known for his appearances with WCW in the 90s. He was given the masked gimmick Arachnaman, which bore such a strong resemblance to Spider-Man that Marvel Comics threatened legal action, which caused WCW to quickly drop that character. So
I guess you wouldn't, well, in my head, I was thinking like it's DC's answer to Spider-Man.
Correct. There's a reason why I picked it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Our next one is Flamingo.
Oh, man.
All right, I got this.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
Rick, you said Batman?
Yeah.
You're up 2 now.
Oh, no. Flamingo.
Nicknamed the Eater of Faces for his cannibalistic tendencies, Eduardo Flamingo is a psychotic hitman who works for the mob. He's from the fairly recent Grant Morrison run of
Batman. Oh, okay, yeah. Does he just kind of stand on one leg when he...
No, but he wears like a flamboyant pink suit.
Yes.
Our next one is Jezebel Jett. Jezebel Jett. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Oh, Mark, you're making a comeback. It is
sweet.
She Woo! Is a Batman character. She was the president of a small African nation, a successful model and philanthropist who became romantically involved with Bruce Wayne.
Oh, of course. However, she chicks dig the car.
Chicks do dig the car. However, she was also a high-ranking member of the Black Glove and agreed to seduce Wayne in exchange for the Black Glove murdering her adopted father and installing her as president.
Oh.
Her attempt to drive Batman insane failed due to Batman realizing she was a spy. She was ultimately murdered and decapitated by Man-Bat Ninja. Sent by Talia al Ghul.
Ninjars.
That was in The Name of the King, a yes. Dungeon Siege tale.
All right.
Rick's up by one. Yep.
We only have a few more left. Okay. Our next one is Johnny Nitro. Johnny Nitro.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
You're both correct. John Hennigan is an American professional wrestler, currently wrestles for Lucha Libre AAA Worldwide and Lucha Underground under the ring name Johnny Mundo. He's known for his tenure with the WWE, where he was known by his ring names John Morrison and Johnny Nitro.
I'm kind of picturing Johnny Cage, though. That's like what's in my head.
I mean, he has long hair, but it's not that unsimilar.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Our next one is Ugly American. Ugly American.
Shit.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestler?
Batman.
I was thinking.
John Kennedy Payne was brainwashed by the U.S. government to be an assassin with extreme patriotic emotions. Something went wrong, however, and he developed a hatred for non-whites and foreigners of all shapes and sizes, including French dogs like poodles. But his rage came to an end when he was taken out by the same government as Batman subdued him.
Wasn't there a short-lived Comedy Central animated series called The Ugly Americans?
Probably.
Okay, yeah.
Our next one is Pentagon Dark. Pentagon Dark. 3, 2, 1.
Batman?
Wrestler. He's also known as...
We're losing it.
Rick, you're still up by one, though. Yeah. He's also known as Pentagon Jr., currently Penta Junior. El Cerro Miedo, which means zero fear. He's a Mexican luchador and mascarado, a masked professional wrestler.
I think that's the thing these like luchadors are throwing me off, you know, the
yes.
different circuit of wrestling.
He is another one that works for AAA and for Lucha Underground. His real name is not a matter of public record, as is often the case with masked wrestlers in Mexico, where the private lives are kept a secret from the wrestling fans.
Nacho Libre.
All right.
Yeah, Jack Black.
Yeah.
Our next one. Orca. Orca.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Correct.
Okay.
Grace Balin is a marine biologist who transforms herself into a monstrous orca, first attempting to steal a valuable necklace. She is also among the villains who was killed by the second Tallyman.
Why would you...
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tell me
banana. I want to steal something, so let me try change
I'm going to transform into a very non-graceful animal. And be a thief.
Well, it's kind of the same mentality as for Batman Forever. Like, yeah, I flew in so fast, my dad said I was like a robin. It's like, what's a quick underwater animal? I know, an orca.
Yeah, just they were sitting around a writer's table.
And then just to the left of this decision, there's a porpoise just sitting there shaking its head.
Right, yeah, yeah.
All right, Rick, you are still up by one. Our next one is Abyss.
Okay.
Abyss. 3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
Correct. Christopher Joseph Parks, known as Abyss, is an American professional wrestler currently signed with Impact Wrestling.
Is that a current league, Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, it's the other federation right now.
Okay.
So there's WWE and then there's Impact Wrestling, or it was also known as TNA Wrestling.
Oh, TNA. That's what I was thinking. I didn't know it was called Impact.
They change the name every so often. Most famously, kind of like... half Mankind, half Kane.
Okay.
Like, if you put those two in a blender, that's what you get. You get Abyss.
Man-Kane.
Man-Kane. Our next one is Onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Batman.
Correct.
Oh, man.
He's a serial killer who targets non-powered vigilante superheroes, earning his name because he imitates noises around him, such as dripping taps, gunshots, etc.
So he'd go after Batman.
Correct. Famously used in the Kevin Smith comics.
Oh, okay.
He is a Kevin Smith creation. All right, our next one. Dr. Hurt. Dr. Hurt.
Paging Dr. Hurt.
3, 2, 1.
Wrestler.
Batman.
Oh, God.
After being granted eternal life by the demon Barbatos, Simon Hurt set out to kill
Wonderful
his descendant,
Island.
Bruce Wayne.
I was thinking about William Hurt.
Not John Hart.
William Hurt is not R. a wrestler either. But Rick, you are still up by one.
Okay.
Two more.
Okay, here we go.
The first one is The Shockmaster. The Shockmaster.
Oh, God.
Three, two, one.
Batman.
He's a wrestler.
Oh!
You might. His name is Fred Alex Ottman. You might know him best as Tugboat or Typhoon.
Oh, Tugboat. Yeah, yeah, Typhoon, yes. Right.
So the Shockmaster has a very interesting history that I do want to share with you.
I do not know this.
So on A Flair for the Gold, which was an interview segment that Ric Flair hosted in front of a live audience at Clash of the Champions 24, Sting and Davey Boy Smith were confronted by Sid and Harlem Heat, demanding to know the identity of their new partner.
Like Sting, the singer?
Sting, well, the wrestler.
Sting, yeah. Not the singer from The Police.
Roxanne!
So Sting exclaimed, "All I have to say is our partner is going to shock the world because he is none other than the Shockmaster." The camera zoomed in on a section of the set where two torches set off a small pyrotechnics explosion. Then, with a new costume consisting of a Star Wars Stormtrooper helmet that was painted purple and covered in silver glitter, as well as a pair of jeans and a large black puffy vest, Ottman, the Shockmaster, attempted to make a dramatic entrance by crashing through the wall. While making that entrance, he tripped over a piece of lumber that was framing the set, causing him to fall forward through the wall with his helmet falling off and sliding across the floor. His face was accidentally exposed, and he scrambled to put the helmet back on. The sight of the Shockmaster was so ridiculous.
Now, let me ask you this.
That's just kind
of weird. Shockmaster have any particular hand signals that he used?
No.
Okay.
If you've never seen the Shockmaster's entrance, it is definitely worth looking up.
Is it on YouTube?
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous and hilarious.
So side note, before we go into the final question here, you're just mentioning of Ric Flair remind me of I am enjoying, and I know you might have checked it out, Brian. I don't think you have, Rick, but that show with Alison Brie on Netflix,
Glow.
Right now, Glow, because as the female wrestlers are trying to learn the moves of the males, they're watching a lot of footage from like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. It made me think of that. It's a very fun show.
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking
like
forward to it.
Three episodes in.
Like,
so.
I think since we're recording this before the 4th of July, almost like a holiday weekend, I'm probably going to dive in this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Gentlemen, I was about to say ladies and gentlemen, but we are ladyless in the room currently. So gentlemen, your final character, if you will. Is
I'm going to stare into Rick's eyes as I answer.
Dr. Death.
I have to go on a limb.
Three.
No, you can't go on a limb. You got to go with, just think of Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange and Dr.
Octopus.
Octopus.
And Dr. Pepper.
Three.
And I don't know.
Three, two, one.
Wrestler.
You both get a point.
He's both.
It's both.
Oh, but Rick still wins.
Rick still wins. So on Batman, Dr. Carl Helfer.
Wait a minute, but on the wrestling, did he go on to become something else where there's a bonus point?
No.
Oh.
Was it, although I will give a bonus point opportunity.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
Dr. Carl Helfern is a mad scientist who made a few appearances in the earliest days of Batman, considered to be Batman's first supervillain. He developed lethal chemical gases and threatened wealthy citizens, demanding money and tribute to him in exchange for their safety. He was disfigured in an explosion.
He ran protection.
And in wrestling, Dr. Death was known as Steve Williams. That was his real name. He was an American professional wrestler, author, former collegiate football player, and amateur wrestler at the University of Oklahoma. So now, to give you a bonus point opportunity.
Yay!
Steve Williams was his name. Someone else had to change their name because they also are named Steve Williams.
Okay. Who gets to go first?
I'm going
to
let Rick go first.
Damn it!
So Rick, for one bonus point, what other professional wrestler had to change their name from Steve Williams because of Dr. Death?
Hold on.
There's another professional wrestler.
So, for example, like, Michael Keaton's real name is Michael Douglas. So when he had to register with SAG, he changed it to Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Like, someone else has had that name. Like,
The Rock's real name is Dwayne Johnson.
Right.
Yes.
So there's another professional wrestler whose real name is Steve Williams. And he changed his name because Dr. Death was already a wrestler.
Okay, I'm going to say Stone Cold.
Okay.
That's Mark. What I was going to say.
Well, you both get a bonus point, so Rick still wins. Stone Cold Steve
That's
Austin.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
So Steve Williams, he
his
was
real, his real name is Steve Williams, so he went by Steve Austin.
So, but Stone Cold was a bigger draw.
But
so
Dr. Death Steve Williams was already in the business.
Already, he was already
so
there.
So he changed it like when he first got his start.
Why
had
did
to change
he change it? I don't understand. It's like Michael J. Fox. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to add a J.
Yeah.
Well, no, but if there was three different guys that were trying to make it work in Hollywood named Michael J. Fox.
You don't want
to
be confused for the other one, you know?
I do.
So.
So that's our game. Rick
well,
wins.
Well done,
Rick,
Richard.
Win. You win.
Oh, yay.
I think as Rick's prize, we need to come up with what his villain would be, his Batman villain or wrestler.
Oh.
I mean, it's coming to me. I'm thinking the Dorito Dominator.
Oh, I can do that.
You always come in with your own bag, you eat all of them, and then you crush the bag before you get into the ring.
That would be awful.
Oh my God,
I would throw
cramps.
Up the instant someone hits
me. You get some cramps. Yeah.
If he was in WCW, his name would be Rick Shaw. And like and he would have
that
like,
might be a little racist. Well,
and he would have someone that would bring him to the ring in a rickshaw.
Nice.
All right. There is a website. What is your pro wrestling name? I put in my name, and my wrestling name is Apex Pound Cake.
I like that one.
That works too.
But going off of your kind of pun thing, I'm imagining him come in, and his wrestling name is Rick Roll. And then he comes into Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Also a
people
good option.
Would hate me.
And then when you slam someone, you go, you've just been Rick Rolled.
That's what I would say.
I like it, yeah.
All right.
You yell it out.
I would
it's good.
Rick Rolled.
You've been Rick Rolled. All right, excellent. Well, well done, and thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I don't actually think there's going to be.
Except I think there was only like three correct answers in that. There was not many.
I was.
Well,
that
we
it was
got a lot of correct
easy.
Ones. We got the same ones though.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
I thought it was going to be too easy, but
yeah. The thing that I wanted to bring up now, jumping to another section. So, like I said before, we were talking about the Rogues Gallery, and we've brought up how a couple of the more villains showed up in this movie, and then they appear when they up it again, like we said, for Batman and Robin. So I thought it'd be interesting, and I don't think there's a lot of overlap from that game, if I were to look up a list of the more obscure and comically hilarious Batman villains out of his Rogues Gallery. So I thought that would be fun.
I like that one as well.
This list is from Gizmodo.com.
Oh, I like Gizmodo.
And this is Laughably Terrible Batman Villains.
Is one of them
by Rob Bricken.
Boxman, and he just wears cardboard boxes.
Well, the first one they have is the Ventriloquist.
Oh, yeah. I
remember,
him from animated series.
He
with
doesn't
Scarface.
Even try to be evil without his gangster pup. I remember him, too. He was from the animated series. Yeah. I didn't think that was the same guy.
I mean, he's been in the comics, too.
Yeah.
But
Scarface. I thought that was a good one. I don't think that one's like very terrible, so.
Well, I mean, it's a guy, it's a mild-mannered guy with an asshole puppet that has a tiny gun.
It's basically like Al Capone.
Yeah.
That's what the puppet is, right? So the next one they have, and I remember this one again from The Condiment King. Do you remember The Condiment King? He like had these ketchup and mustard guns.
I don't remember that
at all. He was in like one episode.
He was in an episode of the animated series as well. It says, do you really even need to know anything else to know how badly this guy got his ass kicked?
That is probably true. I watched Batman Beyond, even though it came out when we were in college.
Did you? Yeah, it was more of
like,
the old
I
school.
I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah. Next up, Sterling Silversmith.
Oh.
It's a thief who steals silver.
Well, that makes sense.
And that's basically,
I want to sit, you know what, one of these days, I want to sit at like a round table with writers of comics.
And say like, and why did you come up with this?
Yeah. Like, all right,
or just
come up with a name.
Names.
Yeah.
Well, I'm having a Sterling fork right now. We'll call him Sterling Silversmith, and he'll be a thief.
So coming up next, Captain Stingery.
Ah, oh, Stingery.
And his claim to fame is he was one of a set of identical quadruplets.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, that would lead to a life of crime.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, I mean, if you are a quadruplet, you automatically have plenty of different alibis.
And he also dressed up
say,
like a pirate.
I was there.
Yeah, that's true.
There's video footage of me being
gonna,
at a ball game.
That works
that's
out pretty well.
That's going to happen like, more often than not. Like, the twin takes the fall for
yeah,
the
like,
other
I'm tired of seeing, like, twin magicians.
Yeah.
Like, let's see twin supervillains where there's just one they, like, swap off.
Most of their, like, plans but and they're getaways come from, like, Parent Trap, the
yeah,
movie.
Exactly.
That's where they come up with that. Okay, Captain Stingery. Come on, next.
Stingery.
The Ten-Eyed Man. He has 10 eyes, although the two on his face don't work. Well, they're all on his fingertips. Yeah.
That's like Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. Coming in next, Kite Man.
Kite Man.
That does not sound
Is
it like, during a storm?
Well, he'd be screwed if there was like a gusty wind.
No, I meant like lightning or something. He ties it to Batman and then lightning strikes.
But like you said, Rick, where you would like to just ask the writers. Yes. This website is proposing that the DC writers were just looking out their office windows and picking pointing out random objects.
Someone was making fun of like Stephen King.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, it's a lamp monster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the idea for your new book, Stephen?
It's like, oh, when can I have it?
And Rick, Kite Man in one issue was literally defeated by a tree because he's in a kite.
Oh.
They are the enemy of the kite.
Too soon?
He still appears in the comics.
Does he?
Like as recently as the DC Rebirth that just happened. Kite Man appears in the DC Rebirth universe. This version of the character's real name is unknown. His last name is not listed on his prison file. He seems to be somewhat
unstable.
Like the
luchador.
Indeed. Constantly chanting the catchphrase, Kite Man, hell yeah. He first appears...
I wouldn't chant that out if I was Kite Man.
He first appears robbing a luxurious party.
He's gotta be big.
Before quickly being foiled by Gotham Girl. He's then seen in a prison cell in Arkham Asylum.
That's Gotham Girl.
She's
at
like
some point, he escapes. He's later one of the many villains that Batman and Catwoman take down after Batman takes her along on an average night of his job in Gotham City. He later sold a kite to a pawn shop where Headhunter purchased it Headhunter purchased the kite to use to kill Swamp Thing's father.
Oh.
Batman and Swamp Thing
shared
interrogated
universe.
Kite Man later.
They are. Yes, they are. That's
They're
already
in the same
an established
universe,
shared universe. Yes.
It's just funny. It's like, what the hell? Why would
the
Swamp
ironic
thing
would be? So we recently had a vacation where we rented a lake house and we brought kites. And one of them was actually a Batman kite. So what if the Kite Man had a Batman?
Well,
kite,
if only
you
knew about this before then, you could have been yelling
Kite
Man. Kite hell
man,
yeah.
Hell yeah. The next one. The quote, made of wood killer. This is just a guy who had a bat.
And
he went to a sporting goods store.
He fell because of termite.
Apparently, he killed the mayor with his baseball bat.
So it's a guy with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And he decides to name himself the Made of Wood Killer.
Because Batman was taken.
The Batman.
But it was taken already.
When he killed somebody.
Baseball
be like,
Batman.
It would be.
He just beat him up with the bat.
That was made of pure mahogany.
Now, I'm the Louisville Slugger. That would have been a better name.
That would
the
be
Louisville
a better
Slugger.
Name. That'd be a much better name.
Okay, I remember this one from the comics and from the show, Baby Doll.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the kid who was kind of almost like I would equate to like a Gary Coleman who never like got bigger.
Like a baby Herman.
Yeah, exactly. A baby Herman, right.
I remember that from the anime.
She was a sitcom
series.
Star,
I do.
Too. That was kind of her background.
She never was really evil, though.
She was evil. She was wicked evil.
Yeah, but she was so cute and little.
Oh, so Rick would have been, he would have just been lured in.
as a father of daughters, Rick has gone soft.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just like, no, she's cute.
That's very true.
They say in this article, Lindsay Lohan is more of a credible bat villain than Baby Doll was. Again, Parent Trap remake.
Shared universe.
Next one, Polka Dot Man.
Does he throw polka dots at people?
The polka dots on his uniform can transform into weapons, traps, and flying saucers. Well, there you go. I'm pretty sure he was in the Lego Batman movie.
Was this in the?
I think a lot of these. I think a lot of these were in the Lego Batman movie.
Was this in like the 70s? Was this like late 60s?
Yeah.
Early? This is like drug
definitely
induced.
Definitely can tell from the comic picture that it does look about that time.
This is probably like a drug induced writing style.
And it said this villain was so bad that he actually got beat up by Detective Harvey Bullock once. So you don't. Again, you don't need to be Batman to beat a Polka Dot Man. The King of Cats.
Hey, it's you.
That
would be me. This is basically the male equivalent of Catwoman. He's a thief. He hangs out with a lot of cats, and he commits a lot of cat-related crimes.
But there's also a Catman.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Coming next, Deathman. This is the villain who inspired the awesome Lord Deathman in the Japanese Batman manga. Okay. The Grant Morrison run that you were talking about before. And his power was playing dead. He basically has the same power as a dog. He just does a trick. He plays dead.
All he does is play dead.
I wonder if he can roll over and also beg.
What
he's
does he
not
do?
Roll over, man.
No.
Does he just like fall over and they're like, oh, he's dead. This is like Batman Forever. Like, oh, yeah, he's dead. Let's just leave him.
Yeah. His trick worked once. Batman figured it out. And then Deathman was never a problem again. So it works one time, that power.
That was like, we need a comic. We need it today. It needs to ship.
So this one is a similar to another superhero's rogue gallery, but not to be confused. This is Mirror Man.
Not Mirror Master,
who is one of the Flash's enemies. So this is Mirror Man. And this is just a dude who likes mirrors and is obsessed with finding out who Batman is, which most of the villains want to do. He actually succeeds thanks to some crazy mirror setup, and he tries to tell the world that Batman is Bruce Wayne. But then it's immediately kind of taken back when Bruce Wayne has a press conference and Batman, impersonated by Alfred, shows up at the same time.
The elderly Batman.
It's like a really geriatric Batman. Like, oh, I'm over here. Oh, my back.
Like, I'm picturing the Alfred from Batman Forever or the animated series showing up dressed as Batman and just speaking in a British accent. I would be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's the same
that
Batman.
Actually did
With like the costume just like hanging loosely on him.
That actually did happen a couple times in the animated series, but it was a cartoon. So they could have bent the laws a little bit more. But I like the comment they said, if Batman can defeat you with a press conference, you should give up.
It makes for an interesting story.
Next up, the Penny Plunderer. It's a guy who steals pennies.
Wait, when they were copper or like from 1982 on? When they're like not copper,
I do not know.
Copper's
they
worth
did
a
not
lot
put.
Of money.
If I could ask the article a question, maybe it would answer me. But they say, you know how Batman has a giant penny in the Batcave? That's from him.
Oh,
that's where it comes from.
Well, then he's not a bad villain.
Here's the argument to that: he's such a bad villain. It's embarrassing for Batman to have ever fought someone who sucks so much as the Penny Plunderer that now DC says that the giant penny was from Two-Face instead. They, like, rewrote the history. No, that's not from the... Because I remember the giant coin from Two-Face. Next is the Sewer King, who makes me think of, like, the Rat King from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's what I'm thinking of, but... The Sewer King would also make me think of, like, the Killer Croc, a Fagin from Oliver, too, because he has orphans steal things for him.
Well, and he was from animated series.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Okay.
He had, like, glasses with one eye blocked out.
That was the episode where Bruce, investigated where all the orphans were disappearing to, right? And then they came out from the sewer, and they said that famous line, the light, the light.
Yeah, it's the underdwellers.
The underdwellers. Coming up from a villain that was featured prominently in the Adam West Batman series was Egghead, played by Vincent Price.
Vincent Price. I don't have a great Vincent Price.
I'm the egghead.
This is how you color the eggs, Jody. If you want.
That makes me wonder if that was the inspiration for that Simpsons gag.
Yeah, it could have. Oh, that's true, right? Basically, he was a criminal who happened to like eggs a lot. That's all. His entire gimmick.
What?
He just loved eggs.
He also had an egg head.
He did, yeah. Like his
head
at his picture
was
here.
Like prolonged.
Yeah. That reminds me, and I wonder if it's going to come up. The 66 series, remember Liberace was a bad guy?
Oh. I don't have Liberace.
I remember Liberace was evil Liberace.
Liberace's character was Chandel,
because he liked chandeliers and candelabras.
He wants to swing from the chandelier. Or maybe it was Chandel.
Chandel. Coming up next, Signalman.
So I'm going to say that Signalman sent radio signals.
Well, let's see.
That would have been a good game,
too. That would have been good, yeah.
Figure out what these powers are.
Yeah.
He was a small-town crook, and he would leave symbols and signs around. That would be like
what?
The Riddler.
Like the Riddler.
His picture kind of looks like he's Batman-esque from the photo. It's like Batman's costume except Flash colors. He's red and white with striped underwear. All right, next one. Crazy Quilt. So Crazy Quilt underwent an experimental procedure, which resulted in him seeing nothing but blindingly bright color. That's horrible.
I like how you laughed.
Which
while
made him
that.
Insane. His powers was he basically was on a constant LSD trip.
That was the powers?
Well, I mean, that's what they're equating it to.
Is that
like it's just, he was just crazy. So they're like, it's just like another justification of being like a Joker. That's what it seems like. A different reason why this guy's nuts.
Was that like during a time where the Joker was gone or something?
I don't know. He seems like a more recent villain.
They just needed to come up with better names. Some of these
crazy
ideas,
quilt.
Well, some of these ideas, like this guy going insane for color, what blah, blah, blah.
But they're repeats.
But, like, But the name. Yeah. Like Crazy Quilt. Like, what the heck? Call him Tom or something.
I'm guessing a lot of these probably date back to, like, the Silver Age.
Yeah. And when they would just pump out those characters.
Yeah, it's probably
no
a lot of
backstories.
Probably
then
a lot of Bill Finger creations.
Yeah.
Bob Kane was the Stan Lee. Bill Finger was the Jack Kirby.
Exactly.
That was the person that had all the ideas.
Yes.
And then that was the person that knew how to capitalize on them. Yeah. Market them. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, like, they were the creators that came up with the character, but that's all they did.
Yeah.
It's like they came up with the stories.
Like, Bob Kane's Batman has no resemblance to the Batman that we know and love.
Right, exactly. A few more left. We have, oh, there was a tie. And one of the ones you did bring up was Maxi Zeus.
Yes.
And also King Tut.
King Tut.
So two that were kind of tied to mythology, Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology. I remember King Tut from the Batman series. I forgot if that was someone notable who played King Tut, but I remember he
Steve
popped up a
Steve Martin played King Tut.
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia, King Tut. There you go. Coming next, Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth was from the
Wasn't
1977
video game?
New Adventures of Batman. Not
Are
from,
you thinking of Twisted Metal?
You're thinking of Twisted Metal, yeah.
That was an awesome game.
That was
it was.
Funny. So Sweet Tooth is a fat guy who attacks by throwing candy at his enemies. And his entire plan was to turn Gotham's river into chocolate. He's Augustus Gloop!
Oh, my God. He wants to give everyone diabetes.
There's not a photo of him as a part of this article, but I just looked it up.
Oh, I want to see it.
And, yeah, a fat guy is a fairly good description. It's just a large man wearing purple. He looks kind of like the Grimace.
Yeah, he does. He
animated
does.
Animated series.
Like, he's, yeah.
He looks like a Scooby-Doo character. That's what I remember that guy.
He's voiced by Lenny Weinrib impersonating Paul Lynde.
Oh, Paul Lynde.
I'm Sweet Tooth.
I have the center square.
You want some chocolate in your river? I'll get you a chocolate river.
And then the last one we have on this list is the Eraser. Basically, he looks like a giant pencil with an eraser head. There you go. There's not too much more to say about him. Batman basically breaks the pencil. That's how you...
He sharpened his toes.
He's literally a number two.
Oh. Too soon.
What?
He has a special helmet eraser that's able to rub out evidence.
Yeah, but he's got to get his head there. Like...
And his real name for this character is Lenny Fiasco.
Oh, that was
like,
a better
that's
name.
A better name.
That's a better name. Yeah. That's his wrestling name, though.
Yeah.
Used to be Lenny Williams. Yeah. He had to change it when he signed up.
He was a college classmate of Bruce Wayne.
Oh. And Bruce used to always borrow a pencil off of him during a test.
He was continually mocked by his fellow students for the mistakes he made in class.
Oh.
That's not a bad backstory.
It's not a bad backstory.
Yeah, the kids today are going to be like, what are pencils?
And a Lego version of the Eraser makes a cameo in the Lego Batman movie, seen driving a commandeered truck alongside Crazy Quilt.
But I do have to say,
I got
to
watch the Batman
I do
movie.
Have to say about Eraser, if Batman defeated him so many times that he got frustrated and then he had to build a robot version of himself, that would be mechanical pencil.
It's an eraser, though.
Is it eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
I'm putting you into witness protection. Come with me, guy from Murphy Brown. That's the line from that movie.
That is.
All right, so that's the end of the Batman awful villain list.
Batman, yeah!
Batman. All right, gentlemen, next we got to do, I know we've been waiting on this
all
for
night.
A while, is we got to put this in our stack ranking list.
Stack ranking list.
All right, so I have the list up. So
right,
we have the previous 49 movies.
I missed, so where did...
Oh, where did we put Adventures in Babysitting?
Yeah, where did...
You can tune in to the mini-episode.
You can.
No, whatever.
Adventures in Babysitting is sitting at number 18 between Midnight Run and The Great Outdoors.
Is that good?
It is very good.
It's very good. It's very
good
entertaining.
Movie. Right. All right, so... Who wants to throw it somewhere?
50.
I wouldn't put it at 50.
I wouldn't put it
it's
below.
It's not the worst movie
well, all right.
on the list.
All right. It's above.
Where do you put it in relative to Neverending Story?
It's above Neverending Story. I was just going to say, it's above Neverending
Story.
Yeah,
it's definitely more watchable than Neverending
but
Story.
What's,
this is good. I knew this was going to come up, and I know Brian's stance.
It's
I
below the
stance.
Phantom.
I was going to say, where do we do this compared to the
it's
Phantom?
It's below the Phantom. I enjoy the Phantom.
I would be okay putting it between Footloose and The Neverending Story.
Okay.
All right, that's
fine. I'd do that, yeah. Oh, that was easy. I thought that was going to be more difficult.
Done.
All right, so it's going in at number...
At the end of
at
this...
42. So it is in the bottom 10.
You know what? 50 more movies from now, you do realize, Brian, The Phantom's going to be in your top 50.
I mean, it's already in the top 50.
Well, it depends on which movies we watch in the future, though. We could watch a lot of things better than The Phantom, which would push it down.
And Phantom's sitting there at 39 right now. Still can't believe it's above Blank Check.
Top 40. That was really simple.
Yeah, it was really quick.
You built it up.
I know. I thought it was going to be more difficult.
Why don't you build me up?
Build me up, buttercup, baby.
All right, gentlemen, I think it's a good time to jump into our section of...
Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
So we know we got the big five from the movie, but there are a lot of other random actors in this movie. One of the ones I brought up during the main episode that I was like, that guy looks familiar, was the security guard that told us that the acid
that
was
I said
coming
was
in.
Sweet Chuck.
You thought it was Sweet Chuck, who it was clearly not Sweet Chuck.
Shut up. It was Sweet Chuck.
It was not Tim Kazurinsky.
He had that annoying voice. That's
he
all.
He talked like him, but he was not him. Sweet Chuck.
It is Joe Grafossi, credited as bank guard.
Okay. That name sounds kind of familiar.
He was also in The Deer Hunter as a band leader.
Oh.
The in game?
The
movie.
Well, there is a game in it, but it's Russian roulette.
Yeah. That's true.
No.
Which Watkin plays?
Hi.
I'll shoot myself in the head.
Mrs. Chip.
Mrs. Chip. Hi, I'm Mrs. Chip. Hand me that gun. Spin it.
He's also most known for 13 Going on 30, where he was Mr. Flam Half.
Okay.
And he was a foreman in The Naked Gun.
Oh.
Two episodes of Bull,
which is currently on, right? That's a current show.
What's that?
The Mentors.
Show?
So he was a judge on that. He was also a judge on The Good Wife.
Oh.
A judge on Law & Order SVU.
I was going to say, he had to be on Law & Order if he's a judge on all those other shows.
He played Yogi Berra in The Bronx is Burning.
Oh.
Did you watch that?
I can picture him. Yeah, I've seen that. I thought you were going to say he played Yogi Berra, though.
Hey,
Yogi Poo-Poo. The picnic basket is boiling acid. He was also a judge in the film Changing Lanes.
He's always a judge.
Which I saw that movie with you, I think.
Did you?
Mark. Yeah. At the Solomon Pond Hoyts Cinema as a judge as well.
The go-to judge actor.
Yeah. I
do you have his legal license?
He might. Yeah, maybe he does.
Is it kind of like how Ben Bailey had to get his taxi license for Cash Cab?
He played another famous Yankee.
Yeah.
In 61, he was Phil Rizzuto.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that. 61.
So he was just going down the team?
Yeah, he's either a Yankee or a judge.
Is he a native New Yorker?
Born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, wah wah.
He was in One Fine Day with... He was in One Fine Day with the Batman and Robin Batman, George Clooney.
Yes.
And
Catwoman
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
He was in Money Train.
Ah, the second Wesley Snipes Woody Harrelson combo movie.
White Man Can't Rob
Money
Train. He
played the pivotal role of Man in Top Hat in Tall Tale. Do you remember that movie?
I remember that movie, yeah.
With Patrick Swayze as Pecos Bill and Oliver Platt as Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
Oh, Oliver Platt was in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's
been in a lot of stuff, though. Okay,
Naked Gun 33 and a Third, Hudsucker Proxy.
So he's clearly recognizable.
Benny and June.
So you've
yeah.
seen him in all these things, so that's why he looks
wow,
so
he's
familiar.
He's been in a ton of...
Yeah, that's
like, presumed innocent.
Little roles, but...
Well, there we go. Very interested. The guy who was the ringmaster, who I thought was Eric Bogosian, but it wasn't Eric Bogosian. Eric Bogosian. He looked like him.
Was the evil guy
His
in
name
Under
was
Siege 2.
Daniel Reichert.
Oh,
like
he's
Riker?
Commander Riker?
Like Commander Riker. Oh.
He's most known for Batman Forever.
Of course he is.
Been in Major Crimes, Judging Amy.
Oh, those are like
Charmed.
Recent shows.
Does not have a lot of credits.
Okay.
He was not Eric Bogosian.
Okay.
We're just going to leave it at that.
Not Eric Bogosian. All right. Why don't we go with, the woman that played that Rita Skeeter type.
Gossip Gertie?
Yes, Gossip Gertie.
Oh, God.
That was Elizabeth Sanders.
Ah.
She's
Delicious Chicken.
Yes. She's... has four credits. In Batman and Robin, she was Gossip Gertie. In Batman Forever, she was Gossip Gertie. In Batman Returns, she was Gothamite number 4. And It's Alive 3, Island of the Alive, she was an autograph seeker.
So she was in Batman Returns.
As Gothamite number 4.
So that's before she got her job at the newspaper.
Yeah. Then she got
just
she got
a prequel character.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher gave her a raise.
Good for her. All right, well, I think that's pretty good, I think.
Well, what's Val Kilmer's latest role? Let's go with that.
Oh, there's a movie that just came out recently, I think. Because
I know Chris O'Donnell is strictly on TV now.
Oh, yeah, he's on NCIS LA.
Yeah, and he's been on that for... God,
I feel like I just saw
like
a trailer
years.
With a Val, for a Val Kilmer movie.
So his next movie, or most recent movie, his most recent credit is Terrence Malick's Song to Song. Also has Ryan Gosling, Michael Fassbender, Rooney Mara, Natalie Portman, Kate Blanchett, Holly Hunter.
I saw, right.
Good
cast. Yeah.
He was also Tom Sawyer. He was Mark Twain in Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Well, that was like based
2014.
Off of his one-man show he was
well,
doing,
no, I think that
right?
was Cinema Twain.
Oh,
in 2016. But in 2014, it was Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Again, he uses the lot, I'm your Huckleberry.
Does he?
Yeah,
I hope
well,
so.
He should. That'd you think amazing. He should. Yeah.
That's such a good Let's movie. Go
but probably
we
his
have
best
to do
credit.
Tombstone at some time.
Of course. MacGruber.
No. Tombstone.
No, MacGruber.
That's his best
Dieter
credit.
Von Kuntz.
No, Doc Holliday is his best credit of all time.
Val Kilmer, yeah.
Hands down. Well, gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts about Batman Forever before we kind of close the, not the Disney vault, but the movie cave vault on this movie?
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.
Oh, that reminds me of one thing. So, when this movie came out, now we, Rick, you mentioned when this movie came out, you bought the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack. We all like
yes,
owned the
I had,
soundtrack.
Yeah.
I got in a heated debate with my friend because we would play the song over and over. And I would say, I would always claim, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen. And he would say, can be seen. And I'd be like, no, it's can't be seen. And this was like the epic debate as to what he's saying in that line. Now, I do believe the lyric is can't.
I would,
even though it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't
that's
make any sense.
How and, the lyric goes,
and,
though.
I think that opens up a door for an impromptu game.
Okay. And, it makes more sense, but I don't think that's how it goes.
And the song flows better with can.
Mark, we're going to challenge you. I want you to perform or recite the lyrics for Kiss from a Rose.
Oh,
Kiss
man.
For
all right.
Rivers.
Sweetest chef.
This is going to test me. All right, here I go. This is going to be bad.
There used to be a sad and tired alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remains but power that blended.
I don't know.
But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen? Baby! I can bring it to a kiss from the rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the moon on the grave.
Is that good? That was really...
That was fairly decent.
I know,
good.
I didn't know all of it, but...
Let's start at the beginning. There used to be a...
I don't know what I said. No
well,
idea.
Just...
You said, like, power.
There
or
used
something.
To be a
graying tower.
Graying tower.
Oh, I said it rhymed.
Yeah, alone on the sea.
I said sea. I got to the sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
You became the light on the dark side of me.
I did get that right.
Yeah.
Love remained a drug that's the high and not the pill.
Was not even close. I didn't even sing anything there.
But did you know that when it snows, mm-hmm. my eyes become large, and the light that you shine can't be seen.
See, it's can't!
It
I
is.
Knew it was can't.
Baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose
okay. That was
on
little...
the gray.
Oh, it's gray?
On the gray.
I always thought it was grave.
I always thought it was grave as well.
I always thought it was grave. I'm going to give you a point for that.
Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah.
I did get that.
And now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom. On the gray.
Oh, not the moon.
Yes. A light hits the moon
well,
on the gray.
Hey, I'm happy with that.
I mean, that's 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard that song since this movie, you know?
There is so impressive. Much. Well, that's the thing. It's not even in the movie. It's the second song in the credits, yeah. And it doesn't even get the full song. It gets like a condensed version. Rick, let's see if you can get verse two. You can just recite it.
I can't get verse two. I don't even know verse one.
I'll give you moments to fill in the blank, okay?
Okay. I like that game better.
There is so much
love
a man can
heart
tell you, so much he can say, you
became
remain my power,
my better
pleasure, my
brain
pain, baby. To me, you're like a
kiss,
growing addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become...
This is the chorus again, Rick.
Well, the pre-chorus.
Yeah.
Light.
Large. And the...
Light.
Yes. That you...
See?
Shine.
Blank.
Can't be...
Oh, you should have put the blank there, if you remember the can't.
Can't be seen.
Correct.
I like the U2 song.
Did you know the lyrics to the U2 one, though?
On the gray. Hold me, kiss me, kill me, throw... Or whatever it is, throw me.
Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me.
I mean, not anymore.
But yeah, looking at these lyrics, I didn't know most of these words.
Yeah.
I had the version
I think I knew them at the time.
Like, a growing addiction, I thought was Roman Dictionary.
Roman Dictionary.
Listening to a song 20 years later, I can't just blurt it out. It's like I need some kind
like
of
you're singing. If you're singing along, you might be able to.
Yeah. I bet you can, Rick. Ready? Batman 66, sing it. Batman. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Characters from Batman Forever. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. Who do you choose?
Hold me, Chris O'Donnell.
Oh. Thrill?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay. Kiss?
Dr. Chase Meridian.
Kill?
Batman.
Brian?
Well, is like Batman killing Rick?
No, like you get to choose.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say kill me. Like,
so they're saying these words to us.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like Rick's having Chris O'Donnell say, hold me to him.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to go with hold me being said by Gossip Gertie.
Okay. Thrill me.
Can we go with Drew Barrymore? Could I go?
Oh, yeah. Take that back.
I just totally forgot she was in this movie.
Hold me would be sugar.
Okay.
Thrill me would be spice.
Oh.
Kiss me, Dr. Chase Meridian.
Yeah.
And kill me, I guess, the Flying Graysons.
Oh. I'm going to go with hold me, Alfred. He seems like a good hugger.
Oh, that's
He seems like a good hugger.
I think he's bony.
Yeah. Thrill me. I mean, it's prime Jim Carrey. I'm sure he's going to be fun. At that time.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Kiss me. Nicole Kidman is freaking hot in this movie. And kill me. I'm sorry. Tommy Lee Jones, your performance is over the top. So
Other acceptable answer is bank guard.
Exactly. And just like that, on that same note, the movie cave, the floor's made of acid.
It's boiling acid. Bama, yeah.
The signal man. Yeah.
Polka Dot Man. Yay.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode, sorta, of the $5 Bin Podcast. A happy 4th of July to you, and join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5BinPOD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, please leave a nice rating and review. Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby dolls. That's a Batman bad guy, remember?